Davis. I am from the great state of Oklahoma. I'm sooner born, sooner bred. When I die, I'll be sooner dead. So, I serve at Quail Springs Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. I'm the singles pastor. I work with your singles pastor named Don Mutton, if you're in his age group. I'm also the adult pastor for the median adults 40s and 50s. I'm also the men's minister, and I'm also the first impressions team pastor there that try to do a good job in representing our Lord and Savior through our church. So I'm humbled to be here. We're going to, hopefully everyone got a listening guide, and we're gonna walk through this. I need some help. So someone that have a Bible or a device, right there in the, under number one, it says Matthew 14, Matthew 20, Matthew 22. I'm going to need someone to look up those passages of Scripture and be ready to read those three passages. So anybody volunteer to take Matthew 14? If you love Jesus, you'll take one of these. Anybody? Okay, we're going to give it to...
Susanna.
All right, who'd like to take Matthew 20? Who volunteered? Volunteer. Go. Thank you, Matthew 20, and then Matthew 22. All right, great. We got three people love Jesus in here. All right, let me pray for us, and then we're gonna talk about this topic of sharing, showing the world love. Okay, Father, we're grateful for how you loved us. We're thankful for doing that for us. We thank you that you're a God of love. And so because you loved us, we're able to love other people. Father, thank you for these wonderful friends here. I pray you will bless them. Thank you for their willingness to come. I pray that they have been encouraged and have received the information that they so needed. Thank you for their ministry. Thank you for their calling. Thank you for what they do for the kingdom of God through Houston's First Baptist and other churches that are represented here. So we're grateful. Lord, I pray you'll fill me with your Spirit. Help me to teach under your control. And I pray you'll help us to understand clearly what you want us to do in this world. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The first time that they gave me a title was this. And they changed it to Showing the World Love. And I have a little part in that change. So, what they wanted me to, one of the first topics was cultivating a heart for the mission, projects versus people. Anybody been on a mission trip in here or done mission work in around Houston or whatever? Okay. So the idea is many times when we go do a mission or we go on a mission or how about this, or we go to work, which is our mission field, but let's just take doing a mission trip. Here's what happens many times. If you're like me or you're type A or whatever, you go, you sign up for this mission trip, and we go on this mission trip, and we're about the projects. We got to do, this is what we've been asked to do, right? Build this, fix this, do that. Our focus many times is on the project, and many times we forget the people. Are you with me? That makes sense? All right, how about this? We get up in the morning. Well, we get up on Monday, if you go to work Monday through Friday. And all you think about, many times what I do, I'm confessing here, I think about the projects. Now, I confess, I'm 58 years old. Sorry, Kate, I have to tell this kid. Kate's been enduring for me. I'm 58. My hair makes me look 88, but I'm really 38. I feel like I'm 38 years old. I feel energized. I feel energetic, okay? And really, right now, at 10:28, here's my smartphone, okay? I'm an old geezer, so here's my smart book, the day timer. Anybody relate to a day timer? All right. So I know tomorrow what I've got to do. I got to get up early. I leave at 7:30 from Houston and Bush. So I got to get back to my church because we have a new pastor going to be preaching for us Sunday. And then I'm a high school basketball official, so I have basketball to call tomorrow afternoon. That's my projects. That's what I got to do. I know what I got to do Monday. And you know what you got to probably go do Monday. But I'm going to work. That's my project. But sometimes I forget that there's people involved. Do you work around people? Okay, all the time. So that's the challenge of what we're doing. Now they, now we've changed the topic. The title is Showing the World Love. Okay? So, anybody heard of, let's see, For God So Loved the World that He, what is it? Gave His only begotten Son, that who, what is it? Believes in Him would not perish, but what? Okay. See, it all starts with love. Love. So Don tells me, he's asking me, send us a title for this cultivating blah, blah, blah. So please understand, I'm not a spiritual giant. I just try to live by what God wants me to do, filled with the Spirit, those types of things. So I'm up in this room that I like to study in at my church. Has a big window, looks out towards the north. I'm up there. And it was crazy. So I'm praying, and God brought me this song, this title of this song, and I started singing. I mean, I'm not this old, okay? Here's the song. Now, forgive me if it just sticks in your brain the rest of the night. Forgive me if you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you start singing this song. All right? Now, for you young folks in here, it was written in 1965. I was 5 years old. But for some reason, God brought this song to mind, and I'm not a singer, so so hang in there with me, okay? What the world needs now is love, sweet
Dionne Warwick.
Yes. Yes. Written in 1965. Many of you probably were not born, and that's fine. It was written primarily with the Vietnam controversy that was going on. Remember your history books? They were saying, what the world needs is love, sweet love. So I sent Don this title. He said they spent hours. Oh, we can't use that song. We can't use that title. That's fine. I'll put it in there anyway. Okay? Show the world love. Okay, I got this. Listen to these words. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, not just for some, but for everyone. Is this not powerful? Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last until the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, not just for some, but for what? Everyone. Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, Lord, listen. Or listen, Lord, if you know what we know or what to do. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. So when God gave me that, I did what you're going to do tonight. You're going to wake up in the middle of the night. Needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that the world is in need of. Can you hear God? Mm-hmm. Listen, friends. It's all about God. It's all about love. Aren't you grateful that God loved you enough to send the Holy Spirit to convict your heart and to say, you need love. You need my love. You need my unconditional love. Now, I'm so grateful you're here. Thank you for hanging in there. Thank you for being here. But one of the things, this is so cool that I'm honored to be here. This is like my 7th or 8th year out of the 11 years. They were really desperate when they called me back. Man, God has used this because this is all new and fresh. This is fresh. What I did a while ago, the prayer thing, I've done here many times, and I'm grateful. Man, God used this to convict my heart. Because my family has gone through some family tough times, okay? So, and if you're not a reader, if you'll get this book, I promise you, you'll read this book. Are you ready? It's called Everybody Always. How many read it?
Bob Goff.
Okay, he's on podcasts and all that smart devices, how you can listen to people. He wrote his first book called Love Does. So my wife and I read both of those. Changed our life. Bob Goff, G-O-F-F, Goff. You need to read both of these books. Okay? Look, listen. God uses all of us in here as his hands, his feet, as his mouth. There's not enough love in this world. There's more hate than there is love. So think about this. And then here's a book title that rocked my wife, Amy, and our world. You ready? Sit down? Here it is. Love Like You've Never Been Hurt by Jensen Franklin. Think about that title. Anybody in here been hurt? Has it been people that normally hurt you? And sometimes it's your closest friends or your closest family members, all those types of things. So that's just a few things that Amy and I have been through. And this has really helped me as a pastor, and it's going to really help you as a minister to minister to people, because you and I know there are people that just, you don't care to love. But did God do that to them? No.
What was the author of the last one?
Jensen Franklin. I can't spell his first name. I'm not smart enough. Just Google Love Like You've Never Been Hurt. Okay, let's see what God's Word says about how God loves people and how he wants you and I to love people. You ready? All right, Matthew chapter 6. I'm sorry, Matthew 9. 36, 37, 38. Here's what 35 says. Jesus traveled through all the cities and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And wherever he went, he healed people of every sort of disease and illness. Verse 36, Jesus felt great pity for the crowds that came because their problems were so great and they did not know where to go for help. Listen, my friend, you and I are ambassadors for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have got to show this world love, genuine love. What's that song say? What? Duh. You got it. Get it? Do this. You got it? Jesus, can you see Jesus traveling to where you and I go daily and weekly? He looked at people just like you look at people, and you see that they're pitiful. They're trying everything to satisfy their life. Listen, someone said that in every human being there's a God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. And he wants to use you and I to help be that ambassador, that representative, that go-between, to help people share the love of Jesus, regardless of what they say and think of you. Take it for the team. Take it for the team. And so he goes on to say, they were like sheep without a shepherd. This past year at my church, we've been without a senior pastor. Now, it's been tough, but we have sustained. We've got enough great pastors, not including me, but the church has grown. Finance has been strong. We've baptized more people than we did the previous years. So God's been very good to us. But can you imagine seeing people without a leader, people without direction, people without hope, people without purpose? They just walk through life trying to find everything and everything to help satisfy their hunger. But what the world needs is love. And it comes, it should come from genuine Christians like you and me, children of the King who've already tasted that. You get it? God's calling all of us who've been signed up as his children to sign up in this army to display and demonstrate love. So he said to his disciples in verse 37, the harvest is so great, but the workers are so few. That's what Jesus is saying to you and me tonight. So he says, pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send out more workers in his field. Powerful. Powerful. So, on your worksheet, here's my challenge in life, and see if it's not yours. Here's what to fill in. Got some blanks there? Here's my confession. I get so busy, or the word focused, I get so busy or focused on what I'm doing or what I've got going on that I either forget or don't see or don't focus on the people around me. Anybody with me? Confess that? Now, the question is asked, can you relate? I'm not going to ask this because of time, But the next blank there under that first paragraph is share an experience that comes to mind. You're around hurting people probably all day. I'm kind of in a cocoon at my church. I don't see a lot of hurting people until I go out for lunch or meet with people that want to have lunch with me and those types of things. Then I hear hurt and their pain. But you probably are in an environment that you work for people with people that are struggling. And if they know that they can come with you in confidence and share some of the dirty laundry, the dirty stuff that they're going through, be honored. Be happy that they trust you enough to hear all that. They give all that to you. And what are you going to do with it? Pray. Take it to the Father. God, I don't know about this one. I can't handle this one. I need your wisdom. We are to be God's representatives. So, do you get busy and focused on other things and forget people? Here's how I would say that the one way to combat that. Get up every morning, and before your feet hit the floor, say, God, thank you for another day of life. And then God, say, I'm ready. I'm in your army. Sign me up. What do you want me to do? I'm ready. Be fat. Be faithful, available, and teachable to do what God ever wants you to do that day. And really, what it really comes down to, and Paul talks about this in his book, be filled with the Spirit. And it's an every minute process. Because if you're like me, you get good, you feel good in the morning, and all of a sudden someone pulls out in front of you and you want to start speaking in the King James language. Okay? That's some pretty tough stuff in King James language. Okay? It's like what the comedians, Bob, said tonight. Shadrach and all that. You know, let them have it. I mean, I've been told many times I'm number one in people's lives. They just use the wrong finger. When I was at Oklahoma Baptist University, my last 2 years of college, my roommate was from Dallas, Texas, of all places. And of course, being a Baptist school, you know, we're not supposed to cuss. Being Christians, we're not supposed to do that either. So anytime we would want to cuss and be tempted to cuss, Greg would be so smart aleck to say, Randy, doesn't it just make you want to quote scripture? Yeah, Greg, it does. Sometimes we do, don't we? But we're not representing Jesus like that. But sometimes we get our focus off of God and our mission and our army that we're supposed to be a part of. Now, your life and your life Bible study group is about the mission. That mission is not mission impossible, but it's mission possible. Anybody like the movies Mission Impossible? Man, they're fun, aren't they? They're great. But listen, our mission that God has given us is not impossible, because we have everything pertaining to life and godliness. We've got the power of God. The word power in the original Greek comes from the word dunamis, which comes from our word dynamite. That's what we have. We've got to continue to show the world love. All right, biblical examples. Matthew 14, 13 through 21. Let's hear about Jesus' example of having a word here. Who has that for me?
Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
The blank is compassion. Jesus had compassion on them. Can you hear yourself in that story? I can. I'm one of the disciples. Lord, we don't have enough money to feed these people. There's at least 5,000. That's what the Bible says. At least 5,000 men, along with their wives and their family, their kids. Focus. Focus. Go to work and say, God, thank you for this mission field, this workplace that I have, or whatever you do that day. God, I am your representative. And that's the under Matthew 9. Compassion means loving kindness and having mercy. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. For with the measure that you do, it will be measured unto you. Do you would you like to have someone heap compassion on you? Loving kindness, forgiveness? Then that's what we ought to be doing for other people. That's what the world needs, is love and compassion and showing them mercy. And that's exactly the story that Jesus gave to us right there, feeding the 5,000. I'm one of the 12. God, get them out of here. We got to get to Chick-fil-A. You feed them. You feed them. What do you got? Well, I've got this kid's lunch. What did Jesus do? He turned it into a miracle. And that's what he's waiting. I really believe this. He's waiting for you and me to sign up to say, God, I don't have much, but whatever I have, it's all yours. Use me today. Wear me out so that I might, at the end of the day, crawl in my bed and put my head on my pillow and say, God, thank you for utilizing me and using me. Let me be a representative as an ambassador for your glory. And then I promise you, friend, my brother and sister, you will have some sweet sleep that night because you have been used by the mighty hand of God. Now, there's been times in my life, I humbly say, that I have experienced that. And I know it was God because I am nothing. I'm nothing. Okay, I'm going to share the story again. God sent me, I had a trip to El Paso Sunday and Monday this past week. This has been a long month this week. Went to El Paso. We're doing a site visit because I'm taking some middle schoolers, which you can pray for me in March. After my three boys, I have no more gray hair to grow. Okay, I just don't want it to fall out. And so we're taking middle schoolers to help a friend of mine that's a church planner. So we do that Sunday and got to worship with him. Then we did Monday sightseeing and praying and figuring out what God wants us to do. And then Morris said, hey, where do you want to eat? I said, I got to have a Chick-fil-A fix. I'm a Chick-fil-A fan. Because I just like to hear it. It's my pleasure. So awkward. You know, the world does the other thing. You know, shows you number one, all that stuff. So we go there, and I'm watching this kid working, picking up trash. Who wants to do that? You know, the people that need love the most are people that I see in airports. Now, I don't know how the ladies' restroom is because I've never been in one, of course. But the men's restroom can get quite nasty. And then you've got this person in there that just, I mean, they're not happy. They're cleaning it up. They're cleaning everything that's nasty in there. Yeah, that's the look I got. And you know what I did to this guy? I looked at him and I tried to do this. Again, I'm not a super saint. I'm not a super Christian. I looked him in the eyes and I said, thank you for your hard work. Mm-hmm. Countenance changed. Mm-hmm. He felt grateful. He felt edified, built up. All we need to do is show the world love. It's what the world needs. So I see this kid working, and God says, and he does this to me occasionally, give him some money. Well, you know me, okay, money. That means I got to get in my wallet, and I got this amount. God, you really want me to use my money? $5, what I pulled out. I went over there to him as we were leaving. I said, Michael. He said, yes. I said, I've noticed your hard work. And I said, God wanted me to give you something. I said, this is coming from God, but it's me putting it into your hand. And here's $5. I thank you for your hard work. He said, I just found God. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, about 2 months ago. I said, how was that? He said, I knew that I needed to be saved. I needed Jesus. And I asked Jesus to come into my life. And I asked him to forgive me my sins. And then he said, but I'm in El Paso. I said, how old? He said, I'm 19. He said, but I don't have anybody that can help me walk further with God. Pastor Morris, come here. I said, meet Michael. Michael, Pastor Morris, is a pastor of the Journey Church He's going to help you journey with now your newfound faith. And so Pastor Morris gave him a business card. And I haven't talked to Morris because it's been a long month this week. But I pray that they've connected. He just needs someone to walk with. He needed someone to say, hey, God bless you. You're on the team now. Welcome to God's team. And now he'd be discipled and growing in that faith. So that was all God. All God. I give him glory because he's just looking for available vessels to have his Holy Spirit flow through us to meet people's needs. Don't you want to be used that way?
Yes.
Don't you want to make your life count?
Yeah.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
We're not promised tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to stand before God and say, he'd say, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Be held accountable. Mm-hmm. I want to be worn out for the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
I pray you do. We got a lot to do. So Jesus had compassion. Do you feel it? That's the kind of thing he wants for us to have. Compassion on people. Because look how good we are. We're well dressed here, thank the Lord. And look, y'all, most of you smell good. And you look put together. But there are people that are just don't have it. Don't have what we have. Don't have a car. No way to get around. And God's going, Randy, I want to use you. Who has Matthew 20:28-28?
I got it.
Yes.
Then the mother of Zebedee's son approached him with her son. She knelt down to ask him for something. What do you want? He asked her. Promise, she said to him, that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and the other on your left in your kingdom. But Jesus answered, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? We are able, they said to him. He told them, you will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right and left is not mine to give. Instead, it belongs to those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. When the 10 disciples heard this, they became indignant with the two brothers. But Jesus called them over and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles dominate them, and the men of high position exercise power over them. It must not be like that among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.
Did you get it? Can you say wow?
Mm-hmm.
The word there, Jesus' example is for us to be servants of people. Now, I'm assuming most everyone in here has a mama. We had to come from somewhere, right? God bless mamas. And this is a very proud mama of James and John. I mean, my mama was that way. She was very proud of me. I was the only son. I had two older sisters that were mean and honoring to me. I still have a picture that no one will ever see. Because I was the live baby doll when I came along. My older sister was 11, my next oldest sister was 7, and here comes Randy. So they didn't have to play with dolls. They had the doll. And so I have a picture that has, they put a bow and pulled my hair up with what little I had and put my hair up in a bow right here. Yeah, that's what my sisters did. Okay? And my mama loved me because I was a mama's boy. Okay? Their mamas love them. Now, Jesus, can I get you to promise me that one can sit on your right and one on your left? I'm glad for that mama. She's proud of her boys. I hope your mama's proud of you. Because if mama's not happy,
nobody's happy.
Thank you very much. No one's happy. But the point here, to show the world love, is not only to have compassion, to be servants of people. Back to the attendant in the... Probably the dirtiest restroom I've ever want to be in is an airport. And whoever the lady does the women's restroom, they're servants. They're serving us. They're serving us. Jesus said, if you want to be great, be what? Be a servant. He gave the example of washing people's feet. Now, back in that day, it was nasty. They had open-toed sandals, and they didn't have shoes like us that, you know, their toe jam got really dirty. I'll just say, it was nasty. Yeah. So anybody have smelly feet? I mean, it's the worst. Did you hear that the guy, He loved to smell his socks at the end of the day, and he smelled them so much for so long that he got some fungus in his lungs from smelling his socks. Yes. That's how nasty feet can be. I went for the first time this past last year. My wife took me for. I get them confused. What's the feet? The
pedicure.
I humbled myself and went with my wife to get a pedicure. I made sure no one was anywhere around me. Do what?
There's something wrong. I got it twice.
Yeah. So I sat down and I have some ugly feet. Anybody have pretty feet? I do. And I sat there and I was humbled for this person washing my feet. Jesus demonstrated that humility to take it from his disciples who he was training to become an ambassador and say, I'm going to wash your feet. Our Savior, our Lord, did that to demonstrate what we should be doing to show love for people. Do you get it? He wants to use you and me. That's the challenge tonight. To show the world love. Because the world does need love. We are in our world. Our America is bad. And it's only going to get better if the church stands up. Matthew 22. Yes.
Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment.
Yes.
And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes. Did you hear it? It's a great commandment. And I'm a simple-minded guy, so I take these simple things. Take a picture of the cross. Got it? Vertical beam, horizontal beam. This beam vertical. It says God who wants us as his children to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So when you see a cross, that's that vertical beam. He wants that intimate love relationship with us as his children. The horizontal beam is loving others as yourself. So my little brain says, that means I need to love. God is all about wanting us to have a relationship here and always have a relationship here. Because life is all about God and God is all about relationships. It's all about people. And listen, I love people. I love people. I love you. I don't hardly know any of you, but I love you because you're my brother and sister in Christ. I love you. I love you. Now, God wants us as Christ followers to love people who are unlovable. Okay? And so that's what God described there. So the word love God, love others. Life is all about God, and God is all about relationships. That's how we show the world love. We don't bypass them. Now, I'll tell you, I have a hard time, and I just confess this, I have a hard time giving money out to panhandlers, and we got a bunch of them in Oklahoma City. But what I don't have a problem with is when I go get my car washed occasionally, the guys and gals that are working to wipe it dry and to clean the windshield are guys that I know at this particular car wash that are coming out of prison. They're in a halfway house. They're making a transition. I always tip them because I know they're working to make their life better. They're not asking out there for something free. And those folks are, you know, I when God tells me to give, I give. But that's who I give to, because I try to make a difference, and I've become friends with some of them. And they love to see me come. They pray I get in their line, okay, for God's glory. Now, let's focus on our life Bible study groups and ways to seek, number two, to seek people through the project missions and with the events we do, to seek people through these projects. Remember, it's about seeing people, not just doing the project. Number two, remember years ago, Nike commercial had Be Like Mike? Friends, it's about being like Jesus. It's about being his representative. When doing life or mission or project events, how can you and I and our life Bible study groups be representatives? Represent. Okay? So here's a few things under number two. Number one, it says being or showing compassion. What does that look like? Have you done an example or been an example of being compassionate to someone like Jesus saw the people that needed food and he took care of them? He showed he had compassion on them. Being compassionate or showing compassion. Number two, being servants. How can you serve people? Being kind to people. you start practicing kindness and compassion and watch their countenance literally change right before your eyes. And I know you're not doing it like I don't do it for anything in reward, okay? But you start developing a relationship with these guys just by being kind, and it's amazing. We hire out, much probably like you do, I don't know what First Baptist Houston does here, but we hire out a company to clean our building. And I love these people. I've already been asked twice by two of them, would I do their funeral service? Now, most of them are African American. That's cool. I love them. I mess with them. I unplug the vacuum cleaner when they're trying to do their work in my office. I plug it back in. I unplug it. This one lady Wednesday night got the cord. She just started flipping it up and down like that, and I plug it back in. She dropped the cord. I unplug it. She pulled it back up, and then she started looking at it. She finally looked up and saw me. She goes, seriously? That's messed with me. I love them. Now, my father-in-law and I and my oldest son Ian, we like to garden, and the only thing I can do is do the rototiller. And I love collard greens and turnip greens and mustard greens, all stuff. Mm-hmm. Have you seen a plastic trash can bag that you put in your trash can? We literally fill up those by the gallons, and I take them to anybody nearby the church. But I ask them that I know who can cook. I said, the only thing I ask is bring me back a bowl about this big and about that deep of what you fix. But I love collard greens and mustard greens and all that kind of stuff. And these folks love me, and I love them. Now, Lindell's one that I love dearly because he always shows up when we have food. Like the other night, last night, we had food for a new pastor that's coming, and there's Lindell. And I said, Lindell, I know I can always count on you when we have food. He said, yeah, I know y'all going to feed me good. And so he's just showing them love. Mm-hmm. Who wants to clean a church? Who wants to clean stuff? I barely like to clean my house when my wife makes me grab the vacuum cleaner. That's my house. But cleaning. These folks, these need to be loved and edified and encouraged. And they're only going to get it from people like us who has genuine love in them, in their heart. Number three, being or showing love. That's enough of that. Now, number four doesn't have anything there, but being and showing all that Paul said in Colossians 3. Let me read Colossians 3. All right, I'm going to read 12 through 17. Paul tells, that's for that one, a vitamin C. Here's 12. Since God chose you, that's me, God chose us. Since God chose us to be the holy people whom he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderheartedness. Give me a definition of what you think tender-hearted means.
Merciful.
Empathetic.
Yes.
Selfless?
Yes. Silly, but someone that just cries over a sad story and then just... That you can empathize with, that you can hurt with. Tender-hearted. He didn't say hard-hearted. Paul says tender. Tender. What God's looking for. He says, clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy. He says, clothe yourself with kindness. Luke says, give and it will be given to you. For with the measure that you give, it will be measured unto you. Some of us wonder why no one ever shows me tender-hearted mercy. No one ever shows me kindness. Well, duh, you're not giving it away. Okay, get it? Tender-hearted mercy, kindness. What else did he say? Humility. This is what these people do who clean our restrooms and everything else. They're humbled by that, but they're grateful because they have jobs. Gentleness, and patience. Ooh. Then he says, you must make allowance for each other's faults. Man, I tell you what, God hammered me with this one. Because I'm not too gracious sometimes when people have faults. And God reminded me, you have faults too. You must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offended you. He says, remember the Lord who forgave you, so you must forgive others. There's not an option. I've had people tell me, I can't forgive them. I will not forgive them. I'm leading a divorce care group. I did that last semester, did this semester. And they're all ladies. We just finished two nights ago, we did a session on anger. Holy smokes. You're talking about these women that are angry? And I'm the only guy in there? My wife helped me last semester, and I didn't realize it was this session on anger. I said, baby, you need to come here and meet these ladies. And then I looked, because when I got there, these two ladies were talking, and they were angry about their ex. Because every one of them had been cheated on and been verbally and emotionally abused. And they were hacked off, man. And then the other four come in, and it just permeated. They were all mad. So I said, hey, I'm glad you're here. You're going to lead the rest of this class because these women are angry. And they don't need me in here because I'm a man. And she said, well, I help them. I said, okay, how are you going to help them? She said, come here. Get up here. So I got up there. And she pulled my arms up like this. And she said, okay, ladies, this is your punching bag. Come get your anger out. I said, baby, we don't need that type of demonstration. Okay? They were angry. You need to help people. Show them mercy. And show them love and kindness. Okay? What else did he say? And most important, piece of clothing you must wear is love. Love is what binds us all together in perfect harmony. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule your heart. For as members of one body, that's us, you are all called to live in peace. Always be thankful. Wow. You get it? How much more clear is that? Showing the world love. It's got to come from us. Because if it's from anybody else other that's not connected with love, it's not really true love. It could be phileo love, that friendship love. But ours should be agape love. I don't care what you give to me. I want to love you unconditionally, and I pray you'll love me back unconditionally. Because I'm not perfect. I will make my faults. I will not be right. Forgive me. Forgive others. All right, number three on the back. Things to think about how we can apply this. Number one, the first point there, work on your story. What's your story? Meaning, what's your testimony? What's your faith story? How did you come to know Christ? Start working on that. Start developing that. Get yourself prepared because God's going to say, all right, today's the day. And you don't know that it's coming, but He's going to orchestrate your life for that divine appointment for you to share your story with someone who needs it. Work on your story. Number two, dwell on the influence God has given you. We all have influence. Whatever measure it is, we all have it. And we need to use it to glorify God in all that we do. Because 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to God's glory. So whatever God has done in you, that story that He has or the influence that you have on people, use it for His glory. Now, this is pretty convicting. This guy who wrote the External Focus Church says this, if your church vanished, would your community notice or would they weep? If Houston's First Baptist didn't make it through the hurricane and every building in here, everything around this campus was gone, destroyed, torn down, would the community notice? How about if your church put in you, if you vanished, would anybody notice? Because we're all going to die one of these days. Would anybody notice? You know, most people that I do funerals for, the family members will remember them, but most friends that come to the funeral or memorial service, you give them a year, they forget about that person. They're gone. Remembered no more. Would anyone notice? Would anyone care if you're gone or your church is gone? The External Focus Church. George Barna says, you change communities by transforming lives. Oh, what's that song? What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Now, watch this next one. Conversations lead to relationships, leads to transparency, which leads to discipleship. That's powerful, my friends. Conversation, being kind to someone, it'll open their life up, and it'll lead to a relationship. So now, Chick-fil-A, they're not, you know, they're a Christian organization, but the people that run, you know, some of them aren't Christians. So they need to be shared with. They need to be told, hey, thanks, it's my pleasure to pay you my money so I can get my food. You develop relationships. And I've been to this Chick-fil-A because I love the owners. You talk about this, describing or leading a life of servanthood is this guy named Ray. Ray doesn't stand behind the counter and take people's money. Ray busses the tables. He's the owner. He's out there cleaning tables. Hey, Jack, man, good to see you. How are you feeling? I knew the last time you were here, you were sick. He knows. I sat there and amazed. I said, God, this guy is describing and demonstrating servanthood. He knows the old people come in. He's got highway patrolmen, Oklahoma highway patrolmen that come in there and eat, and they love him. They sit down and talk. He's developing relationships. Conversations that lead to relationships, to lead to transparency, because you're going to come across people that you'll develop a relationship with. They're going to start becoming transparent with you. You know why? Because they can trust you with what they're telling you. And then what they tell you, you keep it in confidence and you say, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to take your need to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm going to pray for you. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Everybody's in need of something. And when they're trust you enough with transparency, you tell them you're going to pray for them and then do it. Because then that leads to discipleship. It leads to a lifestyle. Now, this is something else convicting. Dr. Chuck Kelly, who's the president of the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, said this. Evangelism feeds off the fact that people who love Jesus live differently. So let me ask you, and only you and God know, or maybe your spouse, or maybe a close friend, do you live differently in front of the world? Do I? I mean, when I put this together, I'm telling you, this was convicting. And I said, God, I can't go teach something I'm not practicing. I'm really not happy that you led me to this information. I could have gotten away with that. Do I live differently? How about this thought? It's not in here. God just gave it to me. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would they know that God loves you and that you love people and you love God? Because that's what the world needs, is love. Would there be enough evidence to convict you? Could you have enough, not only friends, but could you have enough people that know you on a surface level? Would they go and stand in the court of law and say, yep, here's why I know this person is a faith believer of Jesus? If your life depended on it, or you got sentenced to lethal injection or death by the electric chair. And I'm glad that kind of changed in some states. I guess some states are still doing it. Think about that. So every day that God gives us breath, we're to represent Jesus. We're to be his ambassadors. Then he says, we have received the crushing reality of not talking about Jesus outside the church. We have lost organic connections. Find a need and meet it. We don't talk about Jesus outside of church. Of course, it's easy in here, right? It's safe. How many people love Jesus? Yeah, I do. Okay? Outside the walls. See it? All right. Here's some things to do. practical ways individuals and groups can live missionally. Number one, service to each other. These are just reminders. Service to each other. Here's something I want you to take, and I don't want you to fill it out tonight. I want you to take it home, and I want you to think about who lives around you. Okay? Who lives around you? All right, there's a young lady back there. Who lives around you? Who's your neighbor? Okay? Sorry. Who's your neighbor? When Jesus said in Acts 1:8, he said, let me see if I can pull it up. Get my connectors going. He said, "And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the ends of the world." So your neighbor is your Jerusalem. Whoever lives around you, that's your Jerusalem. Your next Jerusalem is probably where you go to work. But start with where you live. If you live in an apartment complex, wherever you live, it doesn't matter. I live on a street. I know most of the people around me are lost, and I'm developing relationships. To the west, Tom and Teresa, lost as a goose in a snowstorm. They don't know Jesus. Everybody around me is lost. So ask them, hey, they might come and say, hey, I need a ladder, I need a tool, I need this, I need that, and provide that for them. Provide it for them. How about you hear that they became ill and they're in the hospital, and you go to their spouse, hey, can I provide a meal? Can my wife and I provide? Serve them, be servants. Get it? And then the next one is service to your community. Some of you do this well. You might have a school near you. Maybe this is a project, a mission thing that we do. A school that needs backpacks. I remember in Alabama when I served at Hunter Street Baptist Church, our children's ministry, there were some poor schools and communities around us. And so our children's pastor at the time, Pastor Rick, went to this one school. You know what he saw? The children there, many of them didn't have shoes. How'd you like to go to school in no shoes? How'd you like to go to work with no shoes? So he comes back and leads our children's ministry and parents that we took up shoes. So the principal got on board, and she worked it in such a way that was an honoring thing and not a humiliating thing, to say, hey, send a note to the parents, would you tell us what size shoe your kid wears? And so they got all the shoe sizes of all the kids. And Hunter Street Ministry provided shoes. Two pairs for everybody. So they provided one that what they fit in then, and one maybe a half size or a full size larger. Okay? That didn't work for me. I didn't get any hand-me-down clothes from my sisters. Still bitter about the bow in my hair. But I was always getting hand-me-downs. But I was grateful. That's fine. But a new pair of shoes? Wow. See what that did for the community? And it brought people to the kingdom. Shoes, clothes, meals to neighbors. All right. Before I give you this last one, here's a thought. I'll tell you, my wife and I, and I've led this, but God has convicted me that this was wrong. My wife and I, and even when our boys, well, when they were younger, we did this event. I just don't participate in Halloween. I don't like to do that. So we would either leave our house and go out and eat or do something different. Or, now this is somewhat of a joke. I told this to my leadership last time we met. I said, or right now, with all the kids being gone, we're empty nesters. I said, or we turn all the lights out and then Amy and I play hide and go seek, or I go chase around the house. So, we still have fun. All right, you ready for this last one? This one's convicting. Tell me this. What day of the year that God orchestrates people coming to your house, knocking on your door, and saying, trick or treat? When this guy told me this, God says, you've been wrong. Do you know any other day of the year that God brings people your way and knock on your door? And yet sometimes we're scared spitless to go knock on anybody's door and tell them about Jesus or tell them about what God's doing in your church or whatever's happening in your life. But God uses all things for His good, all things for His glory. And He brings people to your door in my neighborhood, trick or treat. And what this guy taught me was they planned, he and his wife planned, months in advance to go and find the biggest candy bars, the largest candy bars. Now, you remember when you did trick or treat and word got out? That house gives away big candy bars, not just the mini ones. And where did everybody go? That house. So here's how they work it. The wife stands at the door and has this big old ball and says, everybody get in line, you can choose one candy bar. And you remember, you know how kids work. They take time, right? You know why that works so well? The husband is working the crowd, talking to them about who we are, talking about where they go to church, talking about Jesus, and there's anything we can do for you. You know where to find us. He's working the crowd in the street or in the sidewalk or in the yard. So Halloween is a stay-at-home evangelism opportunity where God brings people who will knock on your door. I told Amy, we changed the strategy on Halloween. So we're saving up money to buy the biggest candy bars we can find in Oklahoma City. And we're going to talk to people. And why not, when you give candy away, why not fill in a gospel tract? And they don't have to worry about biting into a razor blade or anything like that. They can bite into the truth of God and let God's Holy Spirit work on them. Isn't that cool? So I thank the Lord that he gave that to me. All right. So work on who's your neighbor. Begin to acquire their names. If you don't know the names, know where they live. Begin to pray for them. And then show them the love of God. Because what does the world need? Love, sweet love. Now don't get mad at me in the middle of the night. And don't go doing something you got to confess. Just thank the Lord that God reminded you that people need love, sweet love. Because there's all kinds of other things like the song says, okay? Hey, did I tell you lately that I love you? As a pastor, as a guy who's your brother in the Lord, that I love you. Okay? And I know this pastoral staff and your leadership team love you dearly. My dad and mom are in heaven now, but one of the things that I always try to strive for is to please my daddy. Make my daddy proud. We have a daddy. I have a father that I want to make proud. But when I die, and when you die, I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. I did talk about, how would you like that cooked? Well done. Well done. That's what I want to finish life with. I want to finish strong. So be grateful for the life we have. Be grateful for the longevity that God might give you, and then use it for His glory at all times. Father, we bless you. We now have heard a challenge that we are responsible to live out. And I pray, Father, that you would empower us from the Holy Spirit on high. I pray that each of us would be filled with the Spirit. I pray, Father, that we'd wake up every morning and say, God, what's our marching orders? And spend time in your word and fall in love with you and hear our marching orders to love people in our Jerusalem and have an impact on people's lives. God, I want to be able to get to heaven, and I don't know if this will work out, but I'd like to maybe be a part of people who got there because you used me to share Jesus with them. God, I'm thankful for my pastor when I was 8 years old who showed me the plan of salvation, and I pray to ask you to come into my life. I pray, I know he's in heaven. I'm thankful. So God, use us because the world needs sweet love, and it's genuine and authentic, unconditional, for God so loved the world. Use these people. Use us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, blessings. Thank you. let's go eat. Amen, let's go eat. Amen, let's go eat. Amen, let's go eat. Amen.